Sports Hub headlines.
Indianapolis Colts busy today. First, they announced that Josh McDaniels is, in fact, the new head coach. Now, it's also being reported that Josh has some assistants already on board, including Dave DeGuglielmo, Mike Fair, Joe Judge, who is the special teams coordinator in Patriots. He's reportedly going to be joining Josh in Indianapolis. Now, the latest. I'm going to make sure I get this right. The quarterback coach for the New England Patriots, Jerry Schaplinski, rumored to be joining Josh McDaniels in Indianapolis. More on this coming up here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, along with the news yesterday that former Patriots defensive coordinator Matt Patricia is headed to Detroit to be the new head coach of the Lions. Celtics in action tonight. They take on the Raptors. Sean Grady and Cedric Maxwell have the pregame at 7 and then tip off just after 7:30 on 100.7 WZLX. Because the Bruins are going to be here on the Sports Hub same time. Judd Surratt, Bob Beers, Dunkin' Donuts, Bruins pregame show, 7 o'clock, and then face off just after 7:30 from Detroit as the Bees visit the Red Wings. Headlines are brought to you by the Injury Law Center. If you're injured, you need a team of trial attorneys who are dedicated to injury cases. Set up a free consultation at injury-law-center.com. I'm Hardy. I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Love it, Dane.
Thursday morning at 9.
Good morning, Fred. Nick.
Toucher and Rich talk basketball with the Celtics president of operations, Danny Ainge. Brought to you by GE, official data and analytics partner of the Boston Celtics. On 98.5 The Sports Hub. They work.
Arr, matey.
While you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I'm definitely going to look at my future, for sure. I'm going to sit down the next couple of weeks, reflect on the season. We fought all year long, all the receivers, running backs, linemen. I mean, we put all the work in together. So I'm just going to reflect on the season, proud of the boys, and just see what happens from here.
Gronkowski after the game on Sunday night, that following a tweet from Mike Florio that I was putting stock in during the course of that game, despite Florio trying to downplay whatever it is that he knew, whether or not it's real or if it's exaggerated by Rob Gronkowski in an effort to get more money. I don't know. We'll discuss that. But Mike Florio tweeted out before the game started or right around kickoff on Sunday night that it wasn't going to stun him if Rob Gronkowski decided to retire. Now, he played it up as a 99.9% guess, which, sorry, I wasn't buying from the get-go, given his relationship with Drew Rosenhaus, agent to Rob Gronkowski, given that Florio has had connections related to Gronkowski. Didn't buy that at all. Florio just putting that tweet out there right before, give me a break. You didn't just make that up.
Carries too much clout now.
Yeah, you didn't just guess that out of thin air. Give me a break. And so, as you heard, and as I don't know when he had it, Florio was the guy who put it out. So you go to that post game sound where Gronk confirms that he's really thinking about it by saying, "I don't know where you heard that. I don't know how you found that out." And then he goes on to say that he's going to, over the next few weeks, assess things and take stock and all of that, which plenty of players do in the league. Right?
Yeah.
Right? So is it real? Do you buy it? Or is it a ploy for more money?
I think considering the camp that represents him, I think it's a ploy for and how he looks, how good he looks and dominant he looks. I think it's a ploy for more money.
Can I offer you an alternate theory to that?
Sure.
He has worked very hard to be on the field as much as he was this year and remain healthy through the end of the season. Now, he did miss some time, but he was on the field in the Super Bowl, playing in a Super Bowl. I'm imagining that he put in a lot of work
with whoever, whether it be team trainers or doctors or his work with Alex Guerrero. This year may have taken a lot out of Rob Gronkowski to stay on the field.
Sure does.
It may have been a lot of work.
We're understanding that through Tom versus Time, aren't we?
And on a day-to-day basis, maybe, just maybe, after having yet another back surgery last offseason, Rob Gronkowski day-to-day gets up in the morning and just doesn't feel great. And it's a grind.
Yeah.
At the age that he's at now, as opposed to 5 or 6 years ago. And then to top it off at the end of this season, Rob Gronkowski suffered a concussion. And from what I understand and what I'm told, Zoe, you can either confirm or deny. I heard this from somebody. What happened with Rob Gronkowski and his concussion this past week was no ploy, the late clearance in the week. That it was not some sort of dramatic buildup. That he was still dealing with some residual effects of having a concussion long after the concussion itself in the AFC Championship game, and that he was fully cleared, and he was, you know, cleared by the independent people involved for him to be able to play on Sunday. There's no, you know, shady activities going on here, but that concussion sort of rocked him a little bit because it threw him for a loop.
Well, the severity of it
during that bye week.
Yeah, and a lot of people have never had a concussion. It feels like a hangover for anybody that's been hungover. And it usually goes away in 2 to 3 days. And for severe ones, I think it lingers more, and we've seen it with Mark Savard. I mean, we're a whole different day and age now with this stuff. And I believe that because it's independent. That's not a team-issued statement or approval through their doctors. It's an independent neurologist now. It's out of their hands, so you can't play the, what a lot of people like to think, the hoodwinking Patriot games as far as injury reports.
Yeah, when you see him up there, it was weird the way that was introduced because he didn't introduce it, and obviously people had seen that report and it was brought up, and he had like multiple chances to say no, that pay no attention to that, and he did not do that, and that's sort of why we are where we are today on it.
Well, you have 2 weeks later. 2 weeks to get ready for this team. You're getting travel together, your family's around you a little more, your representatives are there. Rosenhaus has had a party, so you talk about him. I'm sure a lot of things. Rob, how you feeling? Never had one like this. You know what I mean? You probably are discussion of what Beatles talking about, the concussion more so than the back or the knee. And now it's a whole different type of injury for him. And think about it, too. You lost 2 Super Bowls with him. He was basically on 1 leg and 1. You won 1 with him, and that was in Seattle, and you didn't have him last year. That was Bennett. So really, in the biggest stage, he's got 1 ring out of 3 for him. Trying to do my math. That's right, right? Indy, he lost Indy. He was shot up. He couldn't move.
Yeah.
He was a decoy. Still lost, so you don't get the ring. Didn't get a ring this year. He got one in Super Bowl 49.
One of the 4 that he played in, they won.
Yeah.
Right.
So you talk about needing him to win the whole thing, you know? But he gets you there, man.
Gets you there.
I mean, if you didn't have him at the end of the year, if you didn't have him in that game, second half, he was the go-to guy.
Oh, my God, that first drive after halftime. Huh. It was like they were down
force
the field.
Force it. Yeah. Yeah. 1 target, 9 yards first half, and then boom.
It was like that Pittsburgh drive. He had all those yards the first 2 plays. Boom.
I think there's something to it.
Obviously talked about.
Yeah, I don't think it's, I don't think he's dead set on retiring and that he's leaning on retirement.
Here's your guarantees, Rob, what we have left, and you talk about everything, and if you have a big game, maybe we can do this, blah, blah, blah. They talk. They push the brand. They market him. That's what they do.
Had we not talked about this right now, and had we not heard that Rob Gronkowski was considering retirement, if you were going to take a guess prior to Sunday, and if I had asked you, and it's hard to know now because you obviously know what you know, how many more years would you guess Rob Gronkowski would play in the National Football League?
More than this?
Yeah.
2.
Yeah. 2, maybe 3.
Like 2's realistic. 3 or you're
got 2 more years in his contract, right?
Gravy.
Yeah. And you think, 2 or 3, but the contract shouldn't play into it. It's how many years do you think the player has left in him?
If you get an extension and get more of a guarantee.
I'm not factoring in his money in his contract. How many more years do you think that guy's capable of doing this and wants to continue doing this and is going to play at a high level in the league and is going to take the hits?
Yeah.
I'd say another 2 or 3 years. Yeah. So how much are we really talking about here if he does decide to retire?
Yeah.
He retired a couple of years earlier than he would have? And I think he probably looks at it like that, and that's not a big difference.
You want to take some calls next segment? A lot of people have been hanging.
Yeah, we could do that.
Okay.
John Feinstein has our CBS Sports Minute on an emotional win for this golfer.
He makes me want to punch cement, like hard cement, and break my hand.
So I was letting it go today.
Shatter it. This is the worst takes I've ever heard.
Szolak and Bertrand.
It's my favorite food.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I don't know. They gave up on me. It is what it is. It was the coach's decision. I was just doing my job, supporting my teammates. I mean, I have nothing but great things to say about the organization. Great organization. They gave me the opportunity. I don't know what it was. I guess I wasn't playing good or they didn't feel comfortable. I don't know. I could have changed that game, though.
Szolak and Bertrand back home in Boston today, 617-779-0985. How was Jones and Cattles yesterday, T-Bone? Was it good?
They picked the carcass?
Just thumbs up.
Oh, it was good?
Yeah. This is good. I didn't catch any.
People are really excited we're back on. I got a lot of those. Thank God. Couldn't wait for Tuesday.
617-779-0985. Dan has the dates at 12:50 today. Right, Dan?
I do.
Okay, he says he does.
I have them.
There you go. The dates are in the can.
In the can.
Tommy and Milton.
In the
Tommy.
Tomato can.
Go ahead.
Hey, Beetle. How you doing?
Hey. Hi, Tommy.
Hey, listen, give me, it's going to be a little long, so I'll try to keep it as short as I can.
Okay.
I go back to root cause. I look at, I have a lot of respect for Belichick. I lost a lot of respect for Belichick. Belichick made the biggest mistake last
year. You
know
what? Hold on. You sound like Christopher Russo.
Belichick.
Hold on. Last year, Mr. Man, who knows everything about football, all right? I'm sorry. Don Yee is the representative for Jimmy Garoppolo and Tom Brady. So you're telling me that Belichick, before the draft, can't say to Don Yee, does it look like he's going to play for us next year or not? Does he look like he's going to sign an extension? You know, the power of Bill Belichick. And if he didn't know that, then he should be fired. He should be fired. That's the first thing. Because then, if you know, that all rolls back into the hatred, not the hatred, but the dislike, so-called lying. He's a liar. Jonathan Kraft's a liar. I've never seen the two-faced liar.
About what?
Him.
Lying about what?
Going back to the thing about, well, there's this dysfunction. And listen, you piss Belichick off, fine. Crash the owner of the friggin' team. But you know what? You know what Belichick says? Belichick says, well, screw you. I'm going to friggin' sit knock a bottle of one of your favorite friggin' players, and you're going to take it whether you like it or not. And that's because...
Whose favorite player? I'm so lost in this stupid story. Whose favorite player? Kraft's favorite player? That's the theory? I don't think he's Kraft's favorite player.
Two things. I don't think Jonathan was lying. I think he's being honest, but he said no. Comparing it to the way it was before, that was dysfunctional. Sure, there's tension. He admitted to there being tension there. But there's also an adage for business people to whenever you're asked, how's business? Great! And Jonathan Kraft is a businessman. You know, that is a time-honored tradition among business owners, managers, salespeople. Hey, how's business? Fantastic.
But my take on this would be...
You don't admit to otherwise because it's bad for business. And at the end of the day, you know, Kraft he's not a coach. He's not a player. He's not even Jerry Jones where he inserts himself as a GM. He's a business guy. How's business? It's good. Things fine. Sure, there's tension. Not everybody gets along all the time, but it's not dysfunctional. And whether you believe that or not, I don't fault the guy for saying that.
Well, the business is still working. They still were in the Super Bowl. They lost.
Yes.
And if the dysfunction is happening, does it involve Brady and Belichick? Does not playing Malcolm Butler have anything to do with Brady and Belichick having tension? I have a hard time drawing that line. I have a hard time finding a connection there.
Well, only
Dan,
when,
you can try.
Only
I mean,
when you bring
it.
The third corner of the ownership group into it, and then you have the tension there that... Again, going back.
But what tension between the head coach and the owner would have led to benching Malcolm Butler?
No, it's just one more thing for the owner to not be happy about the coach about.
It might add to the tension.
Right.
But the tension did not cause it.
No.
And that would be kind of my case.
Wouldn't motivate this. No.
Right. Didn't motivate it.
Bless you.
Those are far-reaching things. I mean, that's a reach.
Yes.
Trying to connect those two. Mark in Medford on Patricia and McDaniels. Hey. Moving on.
Hey, what's up, guys? Before I do get to that question, I just want to say, for years we've been hearing about the Patriot way. Okay, well, it hasn't been more evident than this year that it's not the Patriots way, guys. It's the Belichick way. Because whether he was coaching the Patriots or the other 31 teams in the league, that's the way it's going to be. Okay, and with that being said, do you think McDaniels and Patricia both looked at each other and said, you know what, if we get offered head coaching jobs, let's take it and get the hell out of Dodge because this soap opera has been gone on too long.
No, they want to be head coaches.
No, I think they want to be head coaches in the National Football League.
Yes, now we're really reaching to connect dots here. Everybody wants to be a head coach and your assistant coach. And Josh did it before. So, and that's an opportunity. That's a professional opportunity, and you jump at that.
It's the first time that Matt Patricia has been offered a head coaching job.
Yes.
And he took it. I'm sure if he had been offered a head coaching job last year, he may have taken it. My guess is he would have. You get offered a gig, you say, all right, this is my big promotion.
Again, you're going to Detroit. No offense, Hardy. But as far as pressure cookers you're stepping into, New York Giants, I didn't really think Matt would be a fit there.
No, expectations are low in Detroit.
They've won one playoff game since 1957.
Your offense is okay. Sorry, you have a franchise quarterback who ain't going anywhere. His contract's keeping him there.
So
one of the highest paid players in the league. And the kid's actually pretty good. Go and just work with that defense, and you're going to compete in that division.
Do you think Patricia cleans it up at all? I mean, you know, just the attire.
A little bit. Not a lot. It's not much you can do.
The hat backwards, the beard, the pencil.
I think the hat stays backwards.
Yeah.
You know what?
It's not very head coach-like.
I lost more respect for McAdoo at the end because that guy came in with a bowl cut. Remember how stupid he looked? That stupid mustache and bowl cut. He ends up slicking his hair back because he's in New York now and greasing
it. Yeah, going to be like Pat Riley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, be you.
Opening night, he was in the stands. It looked like he was, like, you know, a little bit more well-dressed and stuff, but he still had the pencil in his ear.
Yeah.
For opening night.
Nothing wrong with a pencil
leather
in the ear.
Leather jacket, leather Patriots jacket, pencil in the ear.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do the hair back thing.
Does he shave? That's really the question.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, the shave, the pencil, the hat, no more Goodell clown shirts.
You're management now. Yeah. Really. Upper management. That's what you become. You go into those jobs. Let's go to Sam, who's in New York. Hi, Sam.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Sam.
Hi, Sam.
So I wanted to go back to your interview with Belichick before the Super Bowl. I caught the last question only. And you asked him about it, one of his mentors, forgetting the name. But you asked him, what advice would this mentor of yours have given for you going to the Super Bowl?
His father.
His father. Okay.
I posed that question to cap the interview because he started the week wearing his dad's hat when he got off the plane. So something that week, it's sort of a salute to his dad at his pinnacle, the ultimate, the world championship.
Play we'll play it, but what's the point about
what's
it, Sam?
Your point?
So I thought it related, interestingly, to Malcolm Butler after the fact because he said the advice his dad would have given was to go with what worked for you during the regular season, to play the game that got you to the Super Bowl. So when you then turn around and bench the guy who played 98% of defensive snaps, that seemed to me to go against that advice.
I think there's more to it that you're missing. And I think you brought up playing Patriot football, Patriot way football.
There it is. Listen.
All right, 6 days ago, you got off the plane, you had your dad's hat on. If you were fortunate enough to have him with you here on Super Bowl Sunday, what do you think he'd tell you before you took the field?
Do what you've been doing all year. Play Patriot football. Don't try to get out of your element. We've won 15 games, and we need to play our best game, but play the game that we practiced and prepared for.
It's been a real honor again covering you for the entire year, Coach. Good luck today on Super Bowl Sunday. Go get him.
Oh, thanks, Scott. I've enjoyed it, too.
It's been a great ride.
Mm. Thanks, Scott.
I've enjoyed it, too.
Who's Scott?
This guy.
Oh.
Scott. Scott.
Man, that is your name.
Yeah.
That is your name.
Zoe.
That is your given name.
You have a nickname, too. I know you don't like it.
I have a lot of them.
That had us buzzing in the booth, though, that great ride comment.
Yeah, whoa.
Don't take it out of context. We're talking about the year. Encapsulating the year.
Every time he said goodbye to you for the last 7 years, though, he said the same thing.
Yeah, but he said it extra this time.
He's my real name.
Yeah.
That's like my mom. Like, whoa, I'm in trouble.
This time it was personal, Jim.
Hardy has our headlines. Dan has our dates coming up at 12:50. We have full phone lines. And there's one gentleman on the line by the name of Carlton.
Shocker.
Yes.
Did he call last week?
I don't think he did. I don't think he did, so don't go anywhere.
Sports Hub headlines.
Indianapolis Colts busy rating members and former members of the Patriots coaching staff today. Josh McDaniels has agreed to terms as the new head coach. Now there are reports that quarterback coach Jerry Schaplinski is expected to join McDaniel's staff in Indianapolis. Special teams coordinator Joe Judge also reportedly on board. And Dave DeGuglielmo expected to go to the Colts as well. Yesterday, the Lions made it official, naming Matt Patricia, the Patriots' former defensive coordinator, as the new head coach in Detroit. Possible break-in at the home of Rob Gronkowski. Police were there around 6 o'clock yesterday evening at his home not far from Gillette Stadium. Reports of multiple safes and possibly guns taken from Gronkowski's home. The Bruins take on the Red Wings in Detroit tonight. Judd Surratt, Bob Beers have the call. Face-off just after 7:30 on the New England Honda Dealers Boston Bruins Radio Network. Also, Celtics take on the Raptors in Toronto this evening. That game will be on 100.7 WZLX. Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell on the call. Headlines are brought to you by the Boston area campus of Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Get in the game. Visit GoCSB.com for more details. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Solak and Bertrand.
It is no longer wise to ignore us.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
On myself, you thought that's the most. Put them back up on the shelf. Just a little baby girl isn't me. Am I coming out of left field? Ooh, I'm a rebel just for kicks. I've been feeling it since 1966. Might be over now, but I feel it still. Ooh, I'm a rebel just for kicks. Let me kick it like it's 1986.
617-779-0985.
Should I know who that is?
No.
I don't think so.
It's good. No. I mean, I like it. I just was hoping it wasn't somebody that everybody's going to roll their eyes when I said it.
Who is this, Jim? It's a song.
Portugal, the man.
Portugal.
All right.
It's a man?
It's a one-hit wonder type of thing.
Wait a minute.
The song's been out.
Name of the band is Portugal, period, the man.
Yeah. Portugal, okay. The man.
But that's a man singing?
I don't know.
Doesn't really matter.
No, it doesn't matter.
No, of course.
But who cares?
Yes, I believe it is.
And Justin Timberlake hits high pitches. Who's the guy that looks like
a halftime show review? Dan Shaughnessy, yay or nay? Was it good or bad?
You know, I never watch him unless it's like,
unless it's lame.
Like The Who or somebody from before Woodstock.
You're so lame.
Why do you come in?
Well, the media spread had just come out, right?
Well, the media spread, halftime media the spread had come out.
We got our nose in the keyboard. We're trying to make
food was phenomenal.
Get ready, food was phenomenal.
Talking about food,
stadium
food
was phenomenal.
For a Super Bowl, the food was better than average.
And you know,
we had iceberg wedges with blue cheese.
Yes,
for,
we did.
For halftime
lobster. Oh. It was tremendous. Shrimp. Really well fed. Really well fed. Now, were you aware of the amazing story about the stadium itself as a killer of birds?
Yes, I actually asked. Who did I ask? Was it the day
there was
before?
A lot of environmentalists and work around this studies
oh,
going
so,
on.
Oh, so we were driving. Remember, yeah. I said that to you.
Yeah,
I said, "Oh, I wonder if the glass is still killing all the birds."
Right, because of
and
the
so had some comment. Oh, who cares about birds? Well, stupid birds.
It's it's in some migration path. It's where it's situated. It's in a migration path, and the clarity. The birds
migration
think
migration path.
It is. I did it. There was a whole story on.
I
this.
Mean, what 100 feet to the left or right is not the migration
it's the
path.
They're in the path.
It's a freaking city.
And the architecture
with skyscrapers.
But the poor birds think that it's open sky. They think it's clear sky, and they crash into it.
There's no reason why they should think that they're dumb birds.
Well, I understand
that. I looked at it. It does not look like open sky.
But it was one of the
stupid birds.
It was one of the great metaphors. There was an entire story about this in USA Today. It was exhaustive about this stadium as a bird killer and the environmentalists and the work that was going into it. Whether it might have to change the glass and all this stuff. And no one... Nowhere in the story did they pick up the metaphor of that, you know, which, of course, didn't come true. But, I mean, the Eagles...
Could have flown into the glass.
That's what I was ready
Eagles
to go
are smart.
With.
Yeah. You know,
they were actually... The stadium itself was designed
it was a
to
bird
kill
killer.
Eagles. Yes.
Bird killer. Bird killer stadium.
So yes. I get inside, and I'm walking around, and it is two of the most beautiful jumbotrons I've ever seen.
Those things are awesome. Places, yeah.
And, but there are certain spots in there where there are pixels that are out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking to a couple of people down there while we're walking. Just love walking around on game day, taking it all in.
Yeah, I like going with you.
And the guy's like, those are from these wacko birds that get stuck inside.
See?
And they fly into them. They've been taken, and they're so
It's like Sully in the Hudson
money.
River.
So
you know?
The birds are getting there.
But to the stupid bird point, it's not clear. You know what I mean? It's not glass to where it looks like, okay, people walk in the
glass.
It
is to them. They see the reflection of the blue sky. They're outdoors. All they see is the reflection of the blue.
Stupid, like, thing.
Well, then why are they not flying into the John Hancock Tower every day?
So,
that thing
thank
you. Do you know they're not? Maybe they are.
So, maybe we
am
don't
I going to concern myself
so
with it?
Have you ever been in a party zone and walked into a glass door?
Many a times.
You, of course, yeah.
Greatest story of all time. My dad's going to laugh because he listens all the time. He was visiting my wife and I down in Florida. We were renting this condo, and so clean. The glass door is so clean. My mom's always cleaning the glass.
You
got
to put the stickers on there.
Christmas time, wasn't it?
Yeah. He gets up out of the room. He's go outside and check it out. Boom! Boom! Right in. He got his face imprint right on the thing. My mom always cleans the glass. Right. So he walks right in.
Yeah, you gotta get
so that means he's smarter than the bird.
Well, it made perfect sense to me when I saw that thing from the outside. The reflection of the blue.
Of course it did.
It's very
bird brain.
It's very glassy.
Thinking that that was gonna kill
it. It's a big issue there.
So those screens, by the way, I'm all in favor of every stadium in the league getting those screens. I want Gillette Stadium to have a screen like that.
Yeah, it's
because you're outside. So in the outdoor stadiums, you can't have the Jerry World giant jumbotron hanging from the ceiling like a lot of these domes do now. No. I just want one of those. And I know the ones at Gillette are very big.
Yep.
I want them to go bigger. It's like TVs, Dan.
This thing's
right?
Huge.
You buy a 55-inch TV, which is gigantic.
You could have got 70.
You look at it and you say, you know what?
Gone
he probably could have gotten the 65.
Sure have.
And then for those who buy the 65, they look at it and say, yeah, we could have got the 70.
See, that's the problem.
What about only 5 more inches? We could have fit the 70 in this room. That happens with TVs, and I want it to happen with Crafts and Gillette Stadium. I want them to look at their screens and say,
go bigger.
We could have gone bigger. We could have gone
go
with
bigger,
the screens
go
that they have in Minnesota. Yeah. We need those.
Could have gone 33 more feet. Should have done it.
Should have.
Exactly.
Should have, could have.
I want one of those.
I got a 70 at home, and now everybody wants to play all the games on it and do everything.
Yeah.
I think they should put it in the open end zone where the lighthouse is. They need to construct one of those screens that are just massive.
To your original point.
Help the in-game.
And to your original question about the halftime show. I've seen, I think, 13 Super Bowls.
Yeah, you're very high on this
halftime
show.
I loved
you two in 2001 because you also had the emotional feel of patriotism. This was by far the most entertaining and enjoying Super Bowl halftime show.
Okay. I don't buy it. He was good.
I guess people at home heard different audio mixes. Like the people at home had problems with the audio. We're there hearing it live, so it's booming. And then we're watching on the monitor. This kid was, and he nailed it.
He
Sorry,
was great.
Yeah,
there
he
was. I liked it.
I'm not the biggest JT fan.
I like the parts. You know, like the three or four times when he said, "Yeah, let's do it," and it sounded totally different from how the rest of the vocals sounded. That was cool. Yeah, just remind you that nothing about that performance was live.
Madonna sang hers all live too. Right?
No, she did not. Most do not.
Here's
but
all
you,
I would
you
say.
Keep saying it's like this great performance. It visually. It was fine.
Hardy, you were in the stands.
I was in the stands.
And I felt and said this from the booth, but you'll be a better judge of it. I said, this is not captivating the audience sitting in the building watching
No. In fact,
they were dead. The crowd was dead.
It sucked the air out of that stadium. Sucked the energy out.
Katy Perry in Phoenix?
Yeah.
The place was going nuts for it.
People,
and there was a lot of visual elements that drew people to it.
People reacted more to Lady Gaga last year than they did to JT yesterday. And so visually you're right, it was stunning to look at. Musically it's not really my thing, and I don't think musically that the songs did anything one way or the other, but just the overall effect afterward, it was like, well, that was fun to look at, but it didn't make you feel one way or the other.
Carlton in Tampa.
Go
Carlton
ahead.
Go
yes,
ahead
sir.
Stephen A. Smith reveres Robert Kraft. He has said that on his show countless times, and he's friends with Robert Kraft, as Zolak knows. Robert Kraft invited him to the party after the AFC Championship at Robert Kraft's home.
Before, night before.
I thought it was after.
No,
it was
it's the night
afterwards.
No, anyway, it's the night before, but go ahead. Same point.
Doesn't make a difference, okay? Today on Stephen A. Smith's show, he said what Bill Belichick did to Malcolm Butler, telling him that he was sitting him right before the national anthem, has the appearance of pure evil. Okay? Malcolm Butler played 100% of the defensive snaps in both the Titans and the Jaguars playoff game, guys. If I am Robert Kraft, anybody down in Foxborough right now spreading false rumors about Malcolm Butler, about him missing practices or being late for meetings or breaking curfew or smoking weed, is fired, literally fired, because this reflects so badly on the Patriots organization. If any of this crap is coming out of Foxborough when Bill says it was a football decision, has nothing to do with personal, if they're spreading false rumors about Malcolm Butler,
what if the rumors are true? What if those things are true? What happens next?
Well, then Bill Belichick just lied to everybody and saying it was...
Wait a minute. Where's the dozens of informants that Seth Wickersham was able to get his hands on? Sure, they'll be blabbing.
Dozens of informants. Give me one name. Give me one name, Zolak. And if you're spreading false rumors, I am firing you if I am Robert Kraft. You cannot... Do you know what this is doing to the locker room? Friends of Malcolm Butler, if they're smearing
him now. What did I spread? What rumor did I spread?
Well, you just said dozens of informants or dozens of people making these claims.
No,
you weren't listening,
no.
Carlton.
Thanks again.
He was saying if there were dozens of sources for the Seth Wickersham story, where are they? I don't know.
You're going to get dozens of stories out?
I don't know how that relates to this.
Because nobody's talking. All of a sudden you wanted to talk, now you don't? Like, this is bigger than any tension.
You don't think we're going to get more reports in the next few days?
This is way bigger than any intention. A guy that started 17 games was benched.
Well, we're going to get more on this.
Thank you.
This story is not over.
So I don't, if you got any rumors, let me know. Okay. So people are tight-lipped.
The way in which they benched him, though, just before the start of the game, another piece of evidence that there was some personal elements involved in this. Personal elements, that is the pure evil, that is the sticking it to somebody. Didn't tell him on Friday, didn't tell him Saturday, told him Sunday right before the game, because Eric Rowe even confirmed that. Eric Rowe said after the game, I found out right before the game I was
in. We got to talk about that next, too.
No, we're getting to Dan's dates next.
Okay.
So save that. Save that point you have about Eric Rowe.
Top of the hour, we're talking about
Double Eric Rowe.
Double tease.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Damn it, I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
The Dapper Dan.
In addition to Dan's dates, we will be giving away a pair of Bruins tickets this segment. We'll do it at the end of the segment, so stay put right here. Dan?
Yes?
Give us the dates.
February 6th is today. Some dead people were born on this day. Bob Marley and Natalie Cole.
Both two good ones.
Two good ones, yeah.
Two very good ones. I like both their music.
Rolling it back even further, George Herman Ruth was born on this day in 1895 in Baltimore, Maryland.
This is actually a pretty good date for you.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, out of the gate, Bob Marley, Natalie Cole.
And the Bambino.
Wow.
Right there.
Strong dates.
Among the living, Mike Farrell is 79. Is that the MASH guy? Mike Farrell?
John Farrell's brother?
Isn't that Alan Alda's, the other surgeon? I think it's Mike Farrell.
Sounds right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But he's 79 from MASH. Tom Brokaw. How old do you think Tom Brokaw is?
Oh, I'm going to go 78.
I'm going to...
Zoe is right on it. That's what he is. Fabian is 75. First of the one name people, Fabian.
Who's better, him or Frankie Valli?
Frankie Valli.
I agree.
Yeah, Fabian was a flash. You know,
Johnny Mathis.
I think you missed a dead guy birthday, too, by the way.
Well, I'm sure.
Do you want it now?
Ronald
Reagan. Former president.
She's a stand.
I have that.
It's a bear. Oh.
I didn't have it in that chronological order. You're right.
Do you know Ronald?
You have me there.
You know how you know the middle
name? It is. I mean,
well, you kind of do. You do dead people.
I thought we were in the dead guy birthday section.
And oddly enough,
wrapped up.
As long as we're on talking about Ronald Reagan, on this date in 1998, President Clinton signed a bill changing the name of Washington National Airport to Ronald Reagan Airport. They must have done that because it was his birthday.
Ronald Reagan's middle name? Anybody?
Shirley?
Nope. Beth? Wilson! Ronald Wilson Reagan.
Wilson!
There was a whole book about how Ronald Reagan was the devil, and the author came to this conclusion because his three names each had six letters, 666. That was the basis of the guy's entire book, Mark of the Beast, Ronald Wilson Reagan.
I'm gonna go get that book after the show. I like that. Sounds pretty good. Axl Rose is 56.
Jesus. Y'all
know who that is? Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, he's pretty fat.
You know who that is.
Well, he's a singer of some sort.
Yes, yes. He's a songwriter.
Was he Guns N' Roses?
Yeah!
Guns
N'
Roses.
Ha ha.
I'm all over
the jungle.
That. So current. Okay, on this date in 1788, Massachusetts became the sixth state to ratify the U.S. Constitution. Thank you very much.
Nobody cares about that stuff.
You don't like the old stuff?
Look at us.
How about that? Doesn't affect her.
All right,
give me
so does this
stuff.
Do anything for? Okay, so King George died.
I don't care about that either.
Yeah, but it gave way to the Queen, Queen Elizabeth. She took over.
Oh!
She was 25 years old.
I got interviewed by two Brit stations. And I did it. I did the interview totally in British.
Oh, come on. I've got to get those.
The same guy, he got me the last couple of years. Hello, you're my old friend from across the pond. We'd like to get you for a moment for the blokes back home.
On February 6th in 1968, the Winter Games started in Grenoble. And the skating champion at those games, 1968, was Peggy Fleming, who married a plastic surgeon. And she is preserved in time because of that. If you ever see Peggy Fleming, you'll know what I'm talking about. Okay. On this date in...
they put on Ted Williams?
Well, not just about. Arthur Ashe died on this date in 1993, one of the all-time greats.
You got a lot of really good famous people
on
this
date. Yes, quite a bit of things happening here. On this date, Zoe, you'll like this. The Righteous Brothers released You've Got That Loving Feeling.
Have you lost that loving feeling? Are you serious?
Yeah.
What movie was that in?
Top Gun. Top Gun, yeah, that's like right there at the jukebox. You cannot beat that.
Man.
That was a good one. And I guess no one cares about that one. I'll dismiss that. Zoe, you'll like this.
Bill Medley was one of the Righteous Brothers, right?
All right. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, on this date.
Hey, how about that commercial, Dan? The Bill Medley commercial from the Super Bowl.
Oh, my God. Best commercial.
Was that funny?
Yeah, that was good. That was the cover of the New York Post the next day. They won the commercial war.
It's the only thing they won this year.
On this date. On this date in 1935, the first Monopoly board games were issued.
I've always hated that game.
You don't like Monopoly?
What?
I'm surprised.
Who doesn't like Monopoly? You're such a capitalist.
Because I would start playing it, and then if you don't put the money back the right way, and you lose a piece or two, and it just everything always got
I'm
mixed
shocked.
Up. Or the box.
What's your favorite Monopoly piece? What do you play as, Dan?
Well, I mean, everybody wants Boardwalk. You want to get
No. I mean, as the little metal
thumbnail.
Piece. What your
I like
piece
the thumbnail.
Is. Oh, the thimble.
The little weren't they the little houses? Weren't they red?
Yeah.
The pieces that you move around the board.
Like the
there's a dog. There's a top hat. There's a thimble. There's an iron.
I would be,
pick one.
I'd be a top hat guy.
I always liked the car. I like a little car.
I like the dog.
The dog.
Yeah, I like to play with the pieces more than I like to play with the game. Like get the board out, spin that thing.
Monopoly Junior, not bad. It's not
might be more your speed, Zoe.
Well, for the kids, I play with my kids. They like.
Jeez, Zoe, I would have lost a lot of money. I would have bet Zoe was
hated
a big Monopoly.
Worst
guy.
Game ever.
Jeez, it just teased up to everyone.
I love
you
trouble.
Are. Yeah. And last but not least, and this is not least in every way. So 40 years ago today, the first snowflake started falling, and it never stopped. 1978, the
blizzard of
78, February 6th, and that was the famed Bean Pot, where everybody stayed overnight at the Bean Pot. I mean, Ted Sarandis, all these guys, like, you know, having card games and gambling. And
don't
no one
understand
home.
Why we can't go home.
I may have something today in takeaways about that.
Really?
Yeah, I may.
I'm going to tune in.
Just for you.
I'm going to do that. But yeah, that was the big one in every way. Yeah, 1978.
You want some stuff you missed?
Yeah.
You missed a birthday.
How did I miss one?
I don't know. Jim, you got anything for this? You missed a birthday.
Rick Astley?
How old do you think Rick Astley is today?
I'm going 56.
Oh, you went high.
Wasn't this the Donald Trump inauguration?
I have no idea.
Yes, you do, because she...
You think I watched that?
No.
It was at the convention.
Didn't watch that either. So
the then-nominee's wife gave a speech, and she used this song.
Never Gonna Give You Up. It makes no sense.
It's almost word for word.
Country? A lot of things don't make sense.
Never Gonna Let You, never gonna
to
let you Down... Yeah,
I mean, I like the song. Wouldn't apply to convention.
52 years old today.
I don't remember
Astley.
This.
Nice.
Never gonna let you down.
I think there was also a dead guy birthday you might want to include. Thank you. Aaron Burr.
Oh, really?
Born on this day in 1756. And Zoe, who did Aaron Burr shoot and kill? Perfect. Name, please.
He's on one of the Bills. Not the Benjamins.
I'm not sure.
Alexander Hamilton. They
knew it!
Met in a duel.
Take a shot at
him. Pistols at dawn.
And Burr killed Hamilton.
So he only took nine steps where the other one took ten.
Did they recreate that in the musical?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Good question.
We're all dumb.
You ever hear the theory on that, though, Dan? About the triggers?
The duel? No.
That Hamilton had tweaked his gun so that there would be less pressure required to pull the trigger.
Really?
And that because he did that, it's just a theory.
He deflated the gun?
That he tried to alter the gun so that it required less pressure and get a shot off faster. But that in the end, it actually did him in because it jammed up.
You know what? We're going to settle this debate.
He had Jimmy Hot Fingers for him?
He had Jimmy Hot Fingers.
A little more grease.
He had Dorito Dink in there working hard.
Lucky they found the tweets.
Yeah.
I didn't see any of those guys out there this week.
No. Did you have Chris Rock in your birthdays?
I did not. That's a gap.
Oh, that's tomorrow's. Never mind.
Oh, right.
Never mind.
Tomorrow's a good birthday day.
I'll come back.
Wait a minute. When did the Patriots win Super Bowl last year? Is that the... it's fifth.
It was earlier today. I think it was today, wasn't it? No?
Boy, if you missed that one.
It was yesterday?
Yes.
Sorry, yesterday.
Fifth. It was fifth.
I feel good. Off the hook.
Caller 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to see the Bruins take on the Sabres Saturday night at the Garden, brought to you by 98.5 The Sports Hub. That's caller 10 right now on the contest line only, 617-931-0985. You will score Bruins tickets for Saturday. Dan, thanks for the time today.
Thanks, guys. I'll be calling you from Fort Myers next week. I know baseball is really on the tip of your tongue.
I'll talk some hoops with you from down here.
Yeah, I'll give you some reports from down in Fort Myers.
You're going quick, huh?
Really,
out of the
has
gate.
There been a team...
Don't you usually wait a couple of weeks?
No, it's now. Can you remember a team with less buzz than this team coming
fantastic
in?
Fantastic, awesome.
No.
And then both your winter teams are screaming now, ready to pick it up from the Patriots.
To Joe's point, they did have a big offseason.
Yeah, you have balls.
Yeah.
If you have balls, first question would be, what, you want to talk about the new beer sponsor, the official beer sponsor, for a good laugh and see if you get a chuckle. Just throw it out there.
Yeah, who should I bounce that off?
Doesn't matter. First one.
Picnic table.
Picnic table.
That's a picnic table question right there.
Okay.
What are you people
say? Open
time?
Up with this. Say, John, number one, love your hat. Number two, what's up with the beer sponsorship? Sam Adams, that was your only off-season move. Have you had any thoughts about acquiring any other players, sponsors, something?
Who's this Sam Adams character? I can't find any stats on him. Must be big. It's the only move you made.
Your off-season move was Samuel Adams. Where'd you get him? Florida Penal League. Yes.
I'll work on this for you.
Thank you, Dan.
Talk to you.
Dan Shaughnessy heading to Fort Myers. Truck day was yesterday, correct? The truck left yesterday. That's really exciting stuff. Really exciting. Why the Patriots were stupid.
Oh, God.
Haven't done it yet, so we have to do it.
They've only had four losses this
year. We have to do it.
Got to do it.
We always promise it. Why the Patriots were stupid. Next.